So we're going to be in the book of Jude today. And last Sunday we left off discussing the words. Well, not last Sunday, but the last time I was here. I'm sorry. This was my lesson from the next Sunday that we was going to come. And we got told not to. So anyway, last time we were here, we left off discussing the words despise dominion in verse 8 of Jude, which means rejecting authority. And we compared this to verse 6 of Jude, which tells us about the ungodly angels who kept not their first estate. So let's go ahead and pray before we get off into this real good. Heavenly Father, we sure thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to come, Father, and share your word with the people here that want to come and hear it, Father. We're so thankful for those that come to hear your word, Father. It's just such a blessing, Lord, to be able to come, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity to share your word, Father. We pray, Lord, that you would just use me, Lord. Teach through me, Lord. Just share your word with these people that come, Lord, in a way that they can understand it, Father. Just use me to teach your word, Lord. Teach through me. And I pray, Lord, that your spirit will just open up our ears, Lord, to hear your word, Lord, and to understand it, Lord. It's such a blessing, Lord. We just thank you so much, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So let's go ahead and read verse 8 before I get further into this. So verse 8 in the book of Jude says, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Now we just spoke about this despise dominion, which is in verse 8 there. And we compared that to verse 6 of Jude, which tells us about the ungodly angels who kept not their first estate. So let's read verse 6 right quick in the book of Jude. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of the great day. So we compared those two verses last time I was here. Now, they, like ungodly people, do not want God to be their ruler. They do not want to live by God's rules. If you were to let someone live in your house, you would expect him to follow your rules. How many of y'all have ever had somebody come and live with you for a while? Well, I have. And when people come to stay with you, you have rules. I'm sure you have rules. You just don't let somebody come and stay with you and have the run of the place without any rules whatsoever. If you were to let someone live in your house, you would expect them to follow your rules. If I let someone stay with me and I told them not to be tracking mud into my house, then they tracked mud into my house and got it all over my floors. They rejected authority. They despised dominion. They did what they wanted to and threw the rules right out the window. They did not care about the rules. And this person who I so graciously let stay with me now receives the consequences of not following the rules. And they, just like the angels that we read about in verse 6, are now kicked out of the home that they were blessed with. Adam and Eve did the same thing back in the Garden of Eden. God gave them a place to live. He fed them and gave them everything that they could possibly ever need. What a wonderful and beautiful place the Garden of Eden must have been. The air was clean and fresh, and I can just imagine hearing a running stream in the background. Something about a running stream that is so soothing to me. Have y'all ever been fishing or camping or something and you have a running stream going along in the back? Yeah, background. And you can hear that stream just running. And when you go to sleep, oh, it just rocks me to sleep. I like hearing that running stream. There must have been plenty of shade because there were trees all around with food just hanging, ready to be eaten. Remember, God told them that they could eat of every tree of the garden except for Everything they could ever need, God supplied them with. But the one thing that I do not want to overlook is that there was no sin in the Garden of Eden. Could you just imagine living in a place with everything you could ever need and no sin anywhere around you? To me, this is what heaven is going to be like. God gave Adam and Eve one rule. Genesis 2:16 says, "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat." Verse 17 of Genesis in chapter 2 says, "But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." One rule. Don't track mud into my house. One rule. Adam and Eve then proceeded to throw that one rule out the window. Thus, rejecting God's authority, they despised dominion, and they ate of the tree God told them not to. Their disobedience brought sin into a sinless world, and it cost them their wonderful home that God had blessed them with. They were shown the door because they despised dominion. They rejected God's authority. Back in the book of Jude, verse 8 says, "Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities." Speak evil of dignities. The word dignities is plural, meaning more than one. The definition of a dignity is honorable place or rank, an elevated office, civil or ecclesiastical, giving a high rank in society, advancement, preferment, or the rank attached to it. One high in rank or honor. So dignities would be your elected officials. The way it is supposed to work here in the United States of America is the people of the United States of America are supposed to go to a sanctioned place to vote for who they want to represent them. The people cast one vote per person, saying that this is the person they want to make the political decisions for them. Those votes are then counted, and the person with the most votes becomes the one who represents you, regardless if it is the one you voted for or not. If I remember correctly, this is the way it is supposed to work. But I'm sure it has become more complicated than that. Now, I'm not big into politics, because when you start talking about politics to people, it stirs up hate and ugliness. And it is such a shame that you can't have a political conversation sharing your thoughts and views with other people without someone getting mad and hateful over political viewpoints. When people get mad, they usually start saying things about elected officials that are not very nice. Sometimes people don't even have to be mad to say something bad about an elected official. They just spew hate out of their mouth or post it on the internet, seeing how many other people they can get to like their post. How many other people they can get to feast on their hate. Sometimes even the elected officials will spew hate out of their mouths towards other elected officials, wanting you to join in on their hate fest towards the elected official they're talking about in order to get your vote. That is speaking evil of dignities. And God says it's wrong. Exodus 22:28 says, "Thou shalt not revile the gods, nor curse the ruler of thy people." The word revile used here means to curse or despise. The word gods used here is with a little g. And used here, it means magistrates, judges, mighty. It's your elected officials. These are your elected officials, folks. The ones your fellow Americans have said they wanted to represent them. Don't speak hateful words against them. You might be thinking it was rigged. So-and-so cheated. So what? If you are thinking that way, you're jumping on a bandwagon that has no instruments. Until you have rock-solid proof, you don't have a case. There is not an elected official one that God did not allow to be where they are today. God is in control, and each and every official in the position that they are in is because God allowed it. When you speak evil of dignities, you are basically telling God that He doesn't know what He is doing. Have you ever thought of that? We can compare this verse to verse 5 in Jude, which says, "I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed them that believed not." After God freed the children of Israel from a life of slavery to the Pharaoh of Egypt, He set Moses and Aaron over them to help lead them. They were elected by God to help govern them, and they in turn were to point the people to God. They were supposed to point the people to God. The people murmured against them and complained about their leadership. God destroyed them that did not believe that He knew what He was doing. They did not trust God. We need more elected officials today to point people to God. We need godly people to vote for godly representatives. Sadly, though, there are more and more ungodly representatives being elected. And ungodly people will continue to vote for ungodly representatives. And if you are a godly person, don't be speaking evil of dignities, because that is what ungodly people do. Just remember, it is all a part of God's plan. There is coming a day when Christ will come back and He will not have to go through man's electoral process. He has already been crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and He will be coming back to create a new heaven and a new earth someday, free of sin and all the crooked politicians and evildoers. Philippians 2:14 says, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings." Philippians 2:15 says, "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Now we're going to close today with 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 25. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 25. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 13 through 25. Verse 13 says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God. Honor all men. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Folks, there's a lot of froward leaving the country now. But the Bible that I'm reading right here says, be subject. Be subject to your masters. It doesn't say complain about your masters. It doesn't say murmur against your masters. It says be subject to your masters with all fear. Verse 19 says, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. When Jesus Christ went to the cross, he murmured not a word. He didn't sit there and complain about Pilate. He didn't sit there and complain about the people who sent him to the cross. It was all a part of God's plan. Every elected official that is over us, folks, is a part of God's plan. Don't say, well, so-and-so is such-and-such. So what? Just know it's a part of God's plan. Thank you, Lord. I look forward to you coming back someday, Father. I know it's a part of your plan, Lord. Endure hardships. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. You might not have voted for the man in office right now. You might have voted for somebody else. And everything you might be thinking, well, the man in office has got the country all messed up. It says, suffer, ye shall take it patiently. When ye do well, you do well. Don't worry about what they're doing up there and messing things up. It's all a part of God's plan. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Christ did not complain. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. I know it's a part of your plan, Lord. Jesus said, not my will, but thine be done. Woohoo! Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. Folks, don't complain, don't murmur. And I love that one thing about y'all. I can go see Brother John here. Every time I go see him, he got a smile on his face. He doesn't complain. Brother Thomas, don't, so y'all don't complain. I ain't talked to none of y'all yet that complain. And that's such a blessing and encouragement to me. Y'all just don't know how much y'all encourage me. And it's such a blessing for me to be able to come and share God's word with you. It's a blessing to me. And I sure thank y'all for coming. What a blessing. And I pray that y'all learn something. We're going to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we sure thank you so much, Lord, for those that come to hear your word talk, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that they learn today, Lord. I pray that they leave this room knowing more about your word, Lord, than when they came in, Father. Lord, I just pray, Lord, that those that don't know you as their Savior, Father, would seek you first, Lord. I pray that they would turn to you, Father. And I pray that you would open up and show them Christ, Lord. Show them ones that died for their sins, Father. We thank you for Jesus so much, Lord. We thank you for the ones that come today, Lord. And we're just thankful so much that you eradicated the sickness that was here, Lord, and let us come back, Father. We just pray, Lord, if there's one still here that's sick with it, Lord, we just pray that you would heal them, Lord. We just pray your will be done in each and every person's life here today, Father. We sure thank you so much, Lord. What a blessing it is to be able to come, Lord. We love you, Lord. We just thank you so much for Jesus. And we pray in his name today, Lord. Amen.